Good morning. I've got the folks from Road Recovery with me. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey,
how you doing?
What's up?
What's up, Steve?
Hey. Your names, I've got Owen.
That's me.
Kamaski.
That's me.
Owen Kamaski. I've got Charles McTavish.
That's me, the Scott.
And Megan Breen.
That's right.
And how was the show last night?
Oh, it was awesome. It was a great show.
It went really well. We couldn't have asked for it to go any better, really.
The best thing for me is right before the show, we're in the green room, and finally it's dawning on these kids that we're going to be upstage and on the stage in front of hundreds of people, and we get to play our own original material, and that's when I get excited, too, and just the culmination of the energy and the performance is just, it's really what it's all about. It was just a lot of fun.
Yep. Did you see a couple cases of stage fright last night, maybe at the last second there? Or?
Oh, yeah. Always,
or
yeah.
Or even early in the afternoon, perhaps.
Maybe that was us.
Now, tell me about Road Recovery. Not everybody that's out there listening has heard of this, or maybe they've heard of it but haven't heard all the details. So tell me about Road Recovery and how y'all got involved.
Yeah, I got involved with Road Recovery around 1998. I was running a music venue in New York City called Arlene's Grocery. A guy called Gene Bowen, who is the actual founder of Road Recovery, was working with Jeff Buckley at the time, and Jeff wanted to do a gig at my club at like 1 a.m. on a Sunday night, and Gene came in, and he and I worked together on getting this crazy gig for Jeff Buckley done. Turned out that Gene was sober, and pretty much everyone at the club that worked there was sober, and he was talking even then about, you know, getting together a program for people in the music business that were sober and that could help people out on any level that were involved with the music business. So we were into it. That was the basis of how I got involved.
So he'd already been running Road Recovery and you just kind of met up with him there?
He had the idea at that point, and then once he got it together, he came back to us and we booked the first show for Road Recovery at Arlene's Grocery.
So you've been there since the beginning?
Yeah. So, you know, we were involved. My band played, and we also had like an artist painting on stage, and we did, you know, spoken word, and it was a whole night based about on recovery and on how within the music business you don't have to be high, and trying to get rid of the myth of rock and roll being all about drugs and alcohol and, you know, all that kind of deal. So that's what happened. We booked that show, and that was over 10 years ago, but ever since then we've just been plugging away at it, and now it's really starting to happen. I think the time is right now. People are a lot more open to the idea, and that's what brings us up here to Haines, Alaska, and last year, you know.
Well, Charles and Megan, how'd you guys get involved?
I got involved with Road Recovery when I was coming out of the Karen Foundation, which is a drug rehabilitation center. I was 17 years old, and it was the last of many institutions I had been in. So I've been using alcohol and drugs heavily from the age of 13, 14, in and out of institutions, and music had always been part of my life, but it really had fallen to the wayside, you know, with the lifestyle that I was living. And I got out of this rehab, and, you know, I was starting a new way of life. I didn't really have anyone to hang out with. You know, I was pretty out of it, you know, just coming right out of a rehab. And on Mondays and Friday nights, I was given the opportunity to get together with some professional musicians and some other kids who were also trying to stay sober. And we just kind of played music together, jammed, and that was about 3.5 years ago. Just sort of organically out of that process, some people stuck around, some people did not, and a band called Crazy James just sort of evolved out of that. And now, you know, 3 years down the line, we gig throughout New York. We've done, you know, this past summer we played DiversaFest in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Flaming Lips headlined. And it's just been great. And not only that, like now that I've, you know, I've been sober for about 3 years now, and I'm able to be on the mentor side of things, where before I was, you know, on the receiving end. And I was able to come to Alaska last year and work with some of these same youths. And, you know, Road Recovery is just about just the power of music uniting people. So we've gone to foster homes and group homes in the New York area. You know, we've worked with recovering teens out in New Jersey. And it's just about, you know, everyone goes through adversity in their life, and just there's different ways of dealing with it, which some are negative, some are positive. But the arts, I would say, is one of the most powerful, creative, and healing sources, and that's what we like to do.
Sure, there's plenty of ways to get your yah-yahs out. This is a pretty healthy one, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Megan, how'd you get involved?
Well, I actually came in a little bit later in the game. I had moved to California and came back to New York, and at that point had about 4 years sober, and came into New York and really wasn't finding my my group there as of that point. And I went to the Karen Foundation as well, and just called and realized that there was this program going on that I really didn't know about, and just showed up one day and went to the meeting and hung out with the kids, and I have never left. I've just kept going, and now I sing in the band Crazy James and have done a lot of gigs and toured a lot with the band. But just, I mean, being able to be on this side of it and come down here and carry the message of recovery and the power of we with music, just the universal language of music with kids and how powerful it is, it just blows me away every time. And these kids were really awesome to work with and just a really cool group of kids to bring this message to. So I'm really grateful to be here in Haines.
So you're saying you guys have been all over the country, and Charles, this is your second time in Haines.
Yep, this is my second time, and it's really cool coming back. With last year, it was our first time out, and people didn't really know what it was about, but they understood, and now the kids are just really excited about their music. And you guys have a lot of very talented musicians out here. I mean, these young kids, in the space of a week, putting together a set of 5 original tunes and performing it. That's crazy. That just doesn't really happen, you know. So I'm very impressed with sort of the creative resources you have in your youths out here in Alaska.
Yeah, we like the kids around here, too. That's same with the adults. There's a lot of creativity around here. A lot of that has to do with, I'm from the Pacific Northwest myself. It rains a lot there. A lot of indoor activities. And the same thing here. You got a lot of time in the winter to work on your writing or your painting or your music or what have you. What do you guys think of Haines in general? Kind of off the subject, but I'm always interested to hear what people think of Haines, especially when you come in and it's like all sunny like this.
It's magnificent. I have never seen anything this beautiful in my life. I've never been to Alaska before, but just coming here, you know, coming on the plane and seeing the mountains after mountains and eagles, and we saw a bear. And
not too close, I hope.
No.
I saw a moose this morning.
And, yeah, Owen saw a moose this morning.
Nice.
And it just absolutely beautiful and quiet and original and different than where I'm from. New York City, so it's very different from where I'm from.
Yesterday there was a cruise ship in, and you know, I've been here for 4 days and I was kind of annoyed by the cruise ship. So you know, I was like, hey dude, where are these people coming from, you know? And you know that obviously a lot of people in Haines make their living, you know, from the cruise ship, I guess, in this season. But even so, you know, I don't know, having those people just invade your really cool town, you know, and then go away again.
Well,
you know.
I wasn't born and raised here, so I'm an invader as well.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess I'm an invader also, but, you know, every day's been sunny and beautiful, so, you know, you're thinking, oh, yeah, I'll live here. But you know for a fact that that's just not how it normally is, you know, so I don't think I could handle it if it was snowing and dreary.
And you said you like the kids, and there's a lot of creative kids here, and I think part of that is because it's a small town and people get to spend a little bit more time, each kid gets a little bit more time with other members of the community. Projects like this,
right?
There was no project like this in Portland, Oregon, which is one of the cities I lived in, or Denver, mm-hmm. or any of these places, mm-hmm. you know, or even in New York. It'd be hard to find it in that sea of humanity.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, so here it's like pretty much any kid who even owns an axe is involved in this. So,
right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, any rocker in town is down here to do this. How long have you all been playing music?
Well, I've been playing since I was a punk rocker in England in 1977. You know,
that's a good year to be a punk rocker.
It doesn't get much better, really. And I realized that at that point that I really didn't have to do much except just get up there and be enthusiastic, you know, to be on their level. And I was always into music, but you know, punk rock was it for me. I really believed everything was going to change, and it did in a way. I mean, it just changed music for the better at the time, just as later on, I guess, grunge would. But
The psychedelic movement in the 60s.
Yeah, they did. You know,
rock and roll in the 50s
right,
in general.
Yeah, my first band was The Nervous Kind, and we toured England in like 81, and we opened for like a little band called Duran Duran that had just opened. It just started playing, and we opened for UB40, and we toured with the English Beat. So we had things going on a little bit. And then, you know, as is often the case, you know, the lead guitarist threw a wobbler and the band broke up. And I came to America and reformed the band and played again, you know, in New York City. I played CBGBs and pretty much every venue in New York City looking for the record deal. And but that's basically what led me down the path to just destruction, really. The quest forever, you know, to get the big record deal. And eventually I just ended up getting the big drug addiction. And, you know, I had to go down that path and find my bottom there to be able to come out of it and do what I'm doing today, you know. And I ended up running a music venue, which was awesome, you know, and I've done some pretty cool stuff there, so...